Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we invite your calls right now to 844-322-2742. That number, good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. It is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We've got an exciting broadcast today. We had a question that came in overnight on our Facebook page, and we're going to address that. It's one of the most important questions that a person could ask, yeah. And it really gets into our subject matter this particular week, Christ alone. What has Christ accomplished for us through his death, burial, and resurrection? And you know, he's just the most compelling figure that's ever walked this earth. You can go throughout history, and there's some incredible historical figures. There are people that did incredible things. They're heroes. There's all sorts of folks, but they all pale in comparison to Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And we talked about that yesterday. There's no other name under heaven by which men can be saved. Jesus is the only name. And that's why Paul went about his missionary journeys preaching Christ and Christ alone. We see that in his second letter to the Corinthians. So he's defending his apostleship. You know, when he came to Corinth, he came with humility, with not real persuasive words. He just simply laid out the message, kind of a black and white deal. Here's Jesus. Let me reason for, you know, with you from the scriptures. Let me tell you that, you know, the prophets of old talked about Jesus coming. Well, he was born in Bethlehem. He grew up in Nazareth. He ministered in Capernaum and around the Sea of Galilee. He showed up in Jerusalem time to time. He was crucified at the hands of Pontius Pilate and the Roman soldiers. He was plotted against by the religious leaders. He was crucified, dead, and buried. And then on the third day, he was raised back to life. Mm-hmm. And that's how he delivered the message. Well, there were folks that came in after Paul, and certainly there were people in Corinth there before Paul, who were orators, who were charismatic, who were polished, who were strong, who were persuasive. And boy, these folks came in before and after Paul, yeah, and made a lot of people in Corinth question Paul's apostleship, question Paul's ministry. And so these letters, his first letter and his second letter, much of it is to defend his ministry, the fact that God sent him as an apostle to deliver the good news of Jesus Christ. And in this second letter in chapter 3, he talks about the good news of Jesus Christ as it relates to the new covenant.
Yeah.
The old covenant, something that he was very familiar with, came with glory because it was given by God, but that glory paled in comparison to the glory of the new covenant. That ministry of the old covenant was a ministry of condemnation, a ministry of judgment, and a ministry of death. But this new covenant is a ministry of righteousness and a ministry of life and a ministry of freedom. So it's just night and day difference between the two as far as their purpose and their end result is concerned. One bound us up in sin and death. The other set us free and gave us new life. Man, what a contrast. And it's this new one that has the eternal glory.
Yeah.
And why does it have the eternal glory? Because it's pinned to the finished work of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. He ushered it in through his shed blood. He ratified it, and he gave us this new covenant.
Yeah.
So it's all about Jesus. And that's why in chapter 4, he said this, "For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord." And we're simply your servants for Jesus' sake.
Yeah.
So what was Paul's message? Paul's message was Jesus. That's who he preached. That's what he preached. That was the only thing he ever wanted to preach once he met Jesus personally. And so wherever he went, he delivered the message concerning Jesus. Now, we've had people here of late send in Facebook posts to us and emails to us saying, man, you need to disregard Paul. He was a false prophet.
Oh, my.
Well, he wasn't a false prophet. He delivered the message that God gave him to deliver. And that message was the message concerning Jesus, the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord. If there's any other message being delivered from pulpits today, from radio broadcasts, from television ministries, other than the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord, it's not a message from God.
Right.
This is the message that saves. This is the message that lifts up. This is the message that ushers us into the eternal glory of this new covenant. So as Paul preached Christ, that's what we endeavor to do as well,
yes,
to preach Christ as Lord and nothing else.
Nothing else. And, of course, you referenced the question from Ed, who wrote to us through Facebook, and we'll get to that in just a minute, so that will really crystallize and clarify,
yes,
what we're talking about here. But, friends, we need your help in order to make sure that we continue to be here every weekday, helping others hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. And at Basic Gospel, we want to keep telling the story as often as we can to as many people as we can. And with all the stuff going on in the world today, as we've said so many times, we need to be here. We need to be sharing the truth of the gospel on the air and online. And with your help, we will be able to continue to do that. So click donate at basicgospel.net, or you can call anytime, 24 hours a day, 844-322-2742, and we'll send you a copy of our DVD series, The Reformation Project, Five Truths That Ignited the Protestant Reformation. Again, that's basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742. Not many days left in the month of October, so this offer will be ending. Do not want you to miss it. So make your donation today if you can, again, at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742. Now, to follow on to the discussion on from Ed with the question from Facebook, I hear you and other people mention the finished work of Christ. What exactly does that mean?
Like I said, that is the $64,000 question. That is an awesome question to ask, because
yeah.
Once we know the answer, everything changes for us. Our relationship with God changes. Our relationship one to another changes.
Mm-hmm.
Our purpose in life changes. Everything becomes new once we recognize what Christ accomplished through his finished work. So when we talk about the finished work of Jesus Christ, Richard, what exactly are we referring to?
In 20 words or less.
No, I'll give you 22.
Okay. We're talking about that he completed the sin battle. In his death, he died for sin once for all. Therefore, none of us ever have to face sin that way, unless we refuse him. Okay, it's found in him.
Right.
But he was victorious over sin in his death, but because our problem was death, sin caused death, forgiveness doesn't make you alive. Forgiveness makes it possible for you to come to Christ, and in his resurrection, he was victorious over death. And now, because of those two things, we receive forgiveness and eternal life. His work absolutely completed both of those problems, solved them both once for all, in all eternity.
Yes, indeed.
That was more than 22, but it was really good.
Yes, it was. It was really good. So on the cross, he cried out his last words before he said, "Into thy hands I commit my spirit." He said, "It is finished." And so that was a reference saying that he has fulfilled that old covenant, brought it to its end, completed it, and now he's ushered in a brand new covenant. So we see that in John 19:30, I believe is the verse where he says it is finished. In John 17, in his high priestly prayer, he said this, "I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began."
Yes.
So he finished the work. That's how he brought glory to his Father here on earth. Hebrews chapter 10 talks about this, that he inhabited a body that God the Father had prepared for him. He offered that body once for all times, for all sin. He carried out the will of his Father in doing that. And in doing that, he set aside the old and he established the new. And in this new, this will that is now in place, we have been made holy through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So his finished work enabled us to be declared holy and made fully alive. That is such good news. So when we reference the finished work of Christ, that's what we're referring to. Now, here's the deal. Once he finished, he sat down at the right hand of God the Father. So that was in contrast to the Levitical priesthood. When they offered their sacrifices, once they were completed, they couldn't sit down. Why? Because the work wasn't done yet. No. There were more sacrifices to be made. And year after year, day after day, they did their work. But this priest, when he sacrificed himself one time, he sat down at the right hand of God the Father. Yeah. So Jesus has finished his work, and so he encourages us to rest. That's the Sabbath rest that the book of Hebrews talks about, to make every effort to enter into that Sabbath rest. What does that mean? It means for us to rest from our works just as Christ rested from his. His work is finished. So there's nothing more for us to do. So we don't need to try to beg and plead and all of those things we do in order to get God to forgive us. We don't have to, through human effort, try to live up to the righteous requirements of the law. Those requirements have already been fully met in us because of the work of Jesus. So we can rest from our works because Jesus finished his. Yeah. Now, when I say works, I'm not talking about the stuff that God is going to do in and through us once we're saved. I'm talking about all those religious dead works that we were doing in order to get God to love us or in order to gain a right standing before God. Those are the works that I'm talking about that we can rest from. We don't have to do those anymore. We never had to do them. Why? Because they were meaningless as far as what we were hoping they would accomplish. They never could accomplish those things. Just as the writer of Hebrews says, the law could not make us perfect. Our human effort could not make us perfect, but Christ did. And because he finished his work, we can rest from our works and experience that eternal Sabbath. So that's why it's so vitally important for us to recognize the finished work of Christ. So that changes everything, doesn't it? Changes everything. So if we know that our sins have been totally forgiven in Christ, then we can breathe a sigh of relief. We don't have to fear punishment. We don't have to walk on eggshells as far as our relationship with God is concerned. We know that our sins have been dealt with once and for all, that there's no more condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. And we can enjoy the very presence of Christ living in and through us. So it changes our relationship with God. And in changing our relationship with God, it's going to change our relationship one to another. So instead of trying to judge and do all those things we normally do in human relationships, we can be free just to forgive as God has forgiven us in Christ, to love as Christ has loved us, to accept one another as God in Christ has accepted us. So it totally changes everything. Yeah. So learn what it means that Christ finished his work and everything else changes.
Let me put it as starkly as possible. If Jesus didn't finish his work, if there's something left, then there is no forgiveness, there is no salvation. We might as well go out on the freeway and play dodgeball with the trucks.
Yes.
That's how hopeless it is if Jesus didn't finish.
But he did.
But he did.
Good news.
Absolutely. But it's all received by faith. And that plays into a question from Andrew. What is faith according to the Bible?
Well, faith is very plainly defined for us in Hebrews 11:1. It is, and let me just find that passage real fast. But it is the confidence
of things hoped for, and the evidence of things we haven't seen.
Okay, so it's very clear, the assurance of things we hope for. Yeah. So what do we hope for? Well, we hope for a perfect relationship with God the Father. Well, we have it in Jesus Christ. We hope for a resurrected body. We hope for heaven. We hope for eternity.
Yes.
And we have all of that in Christ. It's
yes.
guaranteed because of the finished work of Jesus. And it's the assurance of things that we cannot see. So we live by faith, not by sight. You can't see spirit, but we know God is real. We can't see forgiveness. We can't see righteousness. We can't see all of those things, but we have them because of the work of Jesus Christ. And so we rest in that. The world certainly can't see that we're children of God, but that's who we are. He's loved us so much. He's lavished that love on us so much that we are children of God, and that's indeed who we are. Now, the world doesn't see that, and sometimes we don't see it ourselves, but it's true, and so we believe it. And even Peter said, you love God even though you can't see him, and in so doing, you have this inexpressible joy. That's what faith is all about. Yeah. So it's the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's what faith is.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's why we have to have faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, because that guarantees everything. Yeah,
absolutely.
Isn't it? That's our assurance. That's our evidence.
Well, we appreciate hearing from both Ed and Andrew. And friends, if you have a question, you can call right now, 844-322-2742. You can drop us an email at bob@basicgospel.net, or you can visit our Facebook channel and post your question there. So any way is a good way to contact us and pose your question or your particular topic. Very quickly, before we go to Ryan's call, our DVD series, The Reformation Project, encompasses the five truths that ignited the Protestant Reformation, the same truths that can do a work of freedom in our hearts today. And with that in mind, I want to point out again that Basic Gospel is a listener-supported ministry, a ministry of good news, and we need your ongoing support, friends, to keep the good news coming. So with your gift in October, we have a copy of The Reformation Project for you, a wonderful DVD series produced by Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer that we want you to have. So just go online to basicgospel.net, or you can donate by phone at 844-322-2742. Again, donate online at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742. Bob?
And just a personal thanksgiving to all of you who are supporting Basic Gospel, standing with us. I like to say Basic Gospel Nation is doing great things in giving so this word can go out to as many people as possible. We've had some generous gifts this month, and I just say let's keep the momentum going. We really want to end this year with some cash in the bank and the opportunity to really explore some new and exciting ministry opportunities.
Yeah.
And the way things are going, if they continue in this way, we're going to reach even more people in calendar year 2018. But we need your help to do that. So let's ride this momentum. Let's keep this momentum going forward. And I just want to say thank you for all,
you
to
bet.
All of you who have given. And if you haven't given, consider making a gift today.
Yeah.
Come and be a part of Basic Gospel Nation. Help get this word of God out to as many people as possible, as you've been saying so eloquently. Bob, we want to tell this story as often as we can to as many people as we can.
Yeah.
So let's join together and make sure that can happen.
There's a very nice donate button at basicgospel.net, or you can call 844-322-2742 to make your contribution to Basic Gospel.
Let's go and talk to our friend Ryan. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, guys. Snow's melted off the ground from the flurries we had earlier, if you can believe it. Welcome to Canada.
Yes, yes. Well, we're having 78 degree weather today. It's terrible.
yeah, it's horrible. That
yes, yes.
Terrible. My my question is around the Simon the Sorcerer story. When I read it, I notice a few things, that the Holy Spirit hadn't arrived to Samaria, but I also notice that Simon the Sorcerer, it says in there that he believed and he was baptized, but then he tried to buy the Holy Spirit when he did see it arrive, and then he was told basically, you know, how dare you, and pray that God will free me of this. And then I see him kind of carrying on, I think it was with Philip. So my question is, was he saved? Was he just playing the part? Was it, what would be your thoughts on that?
Well, I think he, his belief was just simply lip service, and I think the story bears that out. I mean, when you try to buy the gift of the Holy Spirit, you're going down the wrong track. You're moving down the wrong track. You're not moving down a path of belief. You are just accentuating your unbelief. The fact that you want to buy that so that your power can increase, so that your attention, and that's what he said, that's what it says, that that people paid attention to him. And he felt like this would be a way for that more people would pay attention to him. If he had that same gift of being able to give the Holy Spirit to whoever he wanted to, then more and more people would pay attention to him, and it would put a little more money in his pocket. Yeah. So this was an investment in his sorcery trade. So this wasn't a heartfelt response to the good news of Jesus. This was Simon looking at this as an opportunity. And so Peter called him on it, and he said, I just pray that God can grant you repentance, that your heart can change, and that you can see Jesus for who he really is. Not somebody that's going to pad your pocket, but somebody that's going to save your soul. And it's a big difference. So no, Simon was not saved. He simply responded to the message of Philip, and that message was incomplete. Peter came and filled that out, completed the message, told them the full story. So his baptism was probably just the baptism of John. It wasn't true belief in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, seems like when I read it that he, you know, wanted to have almost a better sorcery business.
Well, that's exactly what he wanted to do.
Yeah. He lost his audience.
Yeah.
You know, and he wanted it back. I mean, the way Peter closes the argument with him, I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bondage of iniquity. That's not someone who is saved. I mean, we're warned against bitterness and warned against getting trapped in sin. But when we're identified as in that gall of bitterness and in bondage to iniquity, we clearly need Jesus and not to be throwing money around trying to buy him.
Yeah, so what Simon was worshiping was money.
Yeah.
He had fallen into the trap of loving money, and this was a way that would get more money into his pocket. Why? Because that's what he worshiped. That's what brought him attention. That's what made him the person that he was. And so he wasn't going to let that go. This was just an opportunity. He was an opportunist and trying to bank on that, and Peter said no. That's not what this salvation story is all about. So I think you're right on, Ryan.
Yeah, and we see that, and unfortunately, sometimes in today's church, just seeing as an opportunity.
There's lots of people that use Jesus for their own personal gain, and that's not what Jesus came. That's
Sad.
Not why he came. So
no, not at all.
Yeah.
Amen.
Well, thanks, Ryan. Great to hear from you, as always.
Yes, indeed.
Friends, I want to remind you that the only way that Basic Gospel is able to be on the air and online each day is due to the faithful support of you, our listeners. And we need your help to keep this ministry of good news available to reach out with the truth of the love, grace, and life of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as our thanks for your gift to Basic Gospel this month of October, we have our DVD series, The Reformation Project, for you. It's all about the five truths that ignited the Protestant Reformation. Truths that also ignite reformation in the human heart. Click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742, and we'll send you a copy of The Reformation Project. Again, that's 844-322-2742 or donate online at basicgospel.net. We need to keep this good news coming. Remember, friends, that we are streaming live video each day to our Facebook and YouTube channels, and we would love for you to take part in that. And thanks today for being with us for this edition of Basic Gospel. So now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry team, Bob Davis inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.